the location of the Free Press newspaper.
John Nicolay, title, for President. Honorable Abraham Lincoln, subject to the decision of the National Republican Convention. We are very confident that we express the almost unanimous sentiment of the Republicans of Pike County in the announcement that we make at the head of this article, a sentiment founded not only on the personal attachment and admiration of Mr. Lincoln, but prompted also by a careful estimate of his qualifications, both to this fitness and availability, to be chosen as a candidate in the coming campaign. From the introduction of the Nebraska Bill to the present time, he has fought the extension of slavery as a champion, chosen and pitted against the great apostle of the popular sovereignty, and has wrestled triumph after triumph from the little giant for republicanism of the West. Whatever may be the choice of the politicians, the people of Illinois are undoubtedly for Lincoln. They know him as an honest and capable man, a man of simple habits and plain manners, but possessing a true heart and one of noblest intellects in the land. He maintains the faith of the fathers of the Republic. He believes in the Declaration of Independence. He yields obedience to the Constitution and the law of this country. He has the radicalism of Jefferson and of Clay, and conservatism of Washington and Jackson. In his hands, the Union would be safe. So I, John George Nicolay, in the February 9, 1860 edition of the Pike County Journal, a Republican-leaning newspaper, did so write. The paper was a formerly staunch supporter of the Whig Party under the part ownership of Z.N. Garbutt. Who would not be a Whig? Mr. Garbutt would ask with enthusiasm, asserting the Whig names have been made up from the initial letters of the Royalist motto, "We hope in God." I would go on from there to become many things, including one of four personal secretaries to Mr. Lincoln while he was president. Three of us were from Pike County, myself, my friend John Hay, and Charles Philbrick of Griggsville, whom Mr. Lincoln had known since at least March the 21st of 1860. He immediately replaced me in Hatch's office when I became Mr. Lincoln's secretary. Philbrick moved to Washington immediately after being appointed in September 14, 1864. John Hay and I would move on from Mr. Lincoln's White House after his assassination. Shortly before his death, Mr. Lincoln appointed Hay and myself to the legislation in Paris, France, in 1865. I served as counsel to Paris in 1865 to 1869. I would become Marshal of the U.S. Supreme Court from 1872 to 1887. Hay and I would pen a 10-volume history of Mr. Lincoln. It was during this time my daughter, Helen, spent as secretary to the Lincoln secretaries. She observed our desire to write like two everlasting angels who don't care a twang of their harps about one side of the other. Hay and I called Mr. Lincoln the tycoon, and in more serious moments, the ancient. So not carrying a harp twang was no easy task. We had known each other since Hay and I were teenagers. I was at the Free Press for 8 years. After 5 years there, I became partner, and in the sixth, sole proprietor. I started at the Free Press, having answered a notice for a boy. So it was that my real work, my real education, and my real romance all began on a May afternoon when I was 16. It is an odd coincidence, also, that the name of Abraham Lincoln should have appeared in the same issue of the Free Press that set me on the road, which brought the two of us together. Not nearly so prominent as the advertisement for a boy was merely an obscure paragraph stating that Stephen T. Logan was to be the candidate of the Whig Party to succeed Abraham Lincoln in the United States Congress. The young printer's life was at first far from luxurious. I and another Free Press employee, David McWilliams, rented a little half-story room over the printing office. We bought bread from Joseph Heck, the baker, and prevailed upon his wife to parch our coffee and cook some of our meals. Soon, I had the good fortune to be taken into the household of Z.N. Garbutt, which, over the decades, the story of how I came to be there would be a tall tale. So the story goes that Mr. Garbutt, the newspaper's editor, was riding the Reverend Josiah Carter's roan mare along a country road one day back in 1848 to round up a new subscriber or two when he saw an angry woman with a broomstick upraised, chasing a small, frightened boy from a cabin. Now the boy ran towards the road, and the woman halted at the sight of the stranger. Mr. Garbutt beckoned the boy and questioned him. "She is my stepmother and seems to like to beat me, but I don't like it," the boy said. After a few moments, Mr. Garbutt lifted the boy up, and they rode into Pittsfield that night, and the boy became a printer's devil. Thereby, Mr. Garbutt set John Nicolay on the road to success. It has become a legendary tale, an uplifting tale, an inspiring tale, but it can hardly be true as I never had a stepmother. But regardless of how I came to be in the Garbutt household, I was mothered by Mrs. Garbutt. Long after I left Pittsfield to return only for a brief visit, I came to her house as if to my own house. I expressed my affection for her and my gratitude in a warm tribute written after her death. I would also marry the dark-haired Therena Bates there in 1865. The Free Press was a good newspaper, and it grew steadily better during the years I was connected with it.
Thanks for visiting. Please proceed to the next location.